"Amaterasu," said the monk Dorinbo, and he gestured to the morning sun behind him. "She who illuminates the heavens, the source of all goodness in this world, receive her blessing." The pilgrims looked to the sun as best they could, squinting, letting light squeeze through the narrow gaps between their fingers. They had waited since long before dawn in one huddled congregation on top of this high ridge looking east across the ocean, men and women standing and the children sitting cross-legged between their feet. The monk had appeared just before sunrise and had ignored them. He had stood and watched the sun as it rose until its roundness was perfect, his hands held upward in praise, and the hanging sleeves of his robes shaping his silhouette as though he were a manta ray leaping from the waves in chase of it. Suddenly he had turned to them and spoken, telling the long story of the coming of the world, of the timeless seas of chaos, and then the isles of Japan falling from the blade of a celestial spear. An untrained man's voice would have grown hoarse, but Dorinbo's did not falter as he told of the first gods and their agonies, of the thundering turmoil that threatened all life and spirits until Amaterasu, golden Amaterasu, had come to be as a tear that fell from her father's eye, a daughter so pure that she made order and peace and love in the hearts of all things. All the while the sun had risen ever higher behind him, Amaterasu in her celestial form bathing them in light. When the tale at last wound its way to the ascension of the goddess to the higher planes of the heavens to reign as she did now, Dorinbo clasped a bald fist into the other hand and raised them high in salutation to her. The pilgrims mimicked the gesture of prayer, some falling to their knees and pressing their heads to the earth in their earnestness. But that is not the end of the story of Amaterasu, not why some of you have traveled the length of the country to come to this small village, Dorinbo said as they lifted their eyes to him once more. For when she left this world, the time of men came. She watched us from the heavens as we grew, and slowly she came to love us most of all the things she had bequeathed upon this plane. She saw that we were weak and scared sometimes, and so she decided to give us one last gift, her own grandson, Ninigi of Heaven. It was he who planted the first rice fields that we might eat, and he who taught us how to fight and made us strong that we might fear no evil. Ninigi was too magnanimous ever to claim a throne for himself, but in time his bloodline was rightly praised. His great-grandson became the first emperor, and unbroken for centuries, his line has continued to rule as emperor from then until today. All that, though, said Dorinbo, raising a cautionary finger to stem another outbreak of rapture before it began, all that stems from here. It was here, right here in this village called Miyamoto, that Amaterasu carried Ninigi to earth. This was where the godchild took his first steps, and where the last footfalls of she who illuminates the heavens ever graced mortal soil. The monk gestured to the land around them. This is the bridge between the end of the time of the gods and the beginning of the time of man. No other place on earth can claim such a thing. This little temple is special, and we too are special, for we stand in the light that bounces off it. Though her blood does not flow in us, we are all of us the children of Amaterasu, and we stand here in her grace. Let us worship. They did, offering silent prayers to the sun, imagining a face within whose beauty they could not possibly comprehend. From down in the darkened alcove of Dorinbo's hovel, the boy Benosuke watched the cluster of their silhouettes on the high ridge. Gradually the sky above them turned from the peach of dawn to the blue of day.